sermon today. If you'll raise your hand, Rick, I'm sure if there's any left, I'll bring you one. Your hand out is back with printed off, so it gives you another tool that you can use whenever. If you need one, you can raise your hand. Hey, tell Rick. Anybody need one, raise your hand. Speak now, it's gone. Okay, they're all handed out. I'm in trouble. I'm saying something I'm not supposed to. But rest of you turning, you would, in your scriptures to Romans 15. Romans 15, we'll be looking at 1 through 13 today. Romans 15, 1 through 13. We're getting to the end of this great book. Lee says that I've been in it for several years now. But I tell you, it's been a great time of study. Let's honor the reading of God's Word by standing to our feet. We'll look at Romans 15. We'll be reading 1 through 13 today. And the title of this is Unity in Christ. Unity in Christ. And the Word of God says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." Sounds like a verse we are memorizing, doesn't it? Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And it is written, "For this reason I have confessed to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing, that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the reading of your word. God, may your word go forth. Hide me behind the cross, and may Christ be glorified. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The thought of unity in Christ this morning. Have you ever asked yourself this question? And I know maybe you're not as crazy as I am. But, yeah, thank you, Lee. But have you ever thought, what if you knew when your last 24 hours would be? What if you knew your last 24 hours that you would, what would you do in those last 24 hours? Well, we'd come up with all kinds of grandiose sayings and say we'd probably do this or we would do that. But the truth being known, we really don't know what we would do, wouldn't we? Because none of us will know when those last 24 hours is. We just don't know when that time is. We know that God's in control of it. But I want you to think about something this morning. There was one man that knew his last 24 hours. Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, he knew what would happen on the cross. He knew. We see him in the garden. We see those last 24 hours. But one of those most fascinating times in that last period of his life was John 17, with his high priestly prayer. And Jesus is, he's talking unto his Father, and he prays for his disciples, but then he prays for us, those that would become part of his family later on. And you know what he prayed? Three times in that prayer for unity. That they would be one as we are one. And he says that unity would be the mark. He said that the world may know that you've sent me. That's his high priestly prayer. That's Jesus' last few minutes, hours on this earth. And he prayed for unity for us believers. He looked through time and he saw us here, 2017, right here in Todd. And he prayed unto the Father for unity. And so I want us to think about that incredible moment there. And how did the church, if we study out the church, how did the church do? We see that apostolic church, they struggled with unity, didn't they? We see it all throughout the epistles, and we see the writing in John, and there when he writes to the churches in Asia Minor. And so why is it that Jesus prayed for this unity, and yet we struggle with unity? Why is that? Because we're live in a fallen world, and if we're not careful, we're surrounded by flesh. And so what will happen is preferences and all these things will come up, in which Paul has been dealing with non-essentials in chapter 14, and we've went through that, how we are to deal with non-essentials, and yet the majority of us know and could tell nightmare horror stories about church splits and how they, what they split over. And what is it? Was it doctrine? Was it people saying, no, most of it's non-essentials, it's preferences, and how we are always wanting or feel like we should have our way with about things. And so we see as he's finishing up this section and he's preaching through the Word and he's letting us know that, hey, we can hear all the preaching, Bible preaching, every Sunday, all our lives, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. We can hear it, but there's a difference between Bible believing and Bible living. A lot of people say, well, I believe the Bible, but are you living it? That's truly how we profess and show if we really believe it. Bible living. I want us to look this morning in these 13 verses, look at just two truths that we can learn through unity in Christ this morning. How we can learn to be, have this unity that in Christ that can supersede all things, that can bring us together as one, that can focus in the truth being known. And you've heard me say that the problem with the church today as a whole is the lack of this unity, this lack of focus on what we need to be really, the main, keep the main thing the main thing. And it's that unity in Christ that brings Him much glory. And so I want us to look at the first truth, and it's in verses 1 through 6. Jesus didn't please Himself. What does the verses say? We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his own good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a mouthful that he's saying. But he starts off with our memory verse. We see that he's acknowledging, we talked about the weak and the strong that he's been talking about since chapter 14 began. And how we, when we have weaker, and I said, well, who is the weak and who is the strong? I said, sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me. But Paul identifies himself with this Roman church as being the strong. We, he says. We then who are strong ought to do what? Bear the burdens of the weak, or scruples, or the weaknesses of the weak is really a better translation of that. We ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak. And so we've learned about these non-essentials. We learned how to handle. And he's saying, hey, we got to handle it like Christ. And we might have these freedoms in Christ. But he says, hey, it comes with a price. It comes with an obligation to who? To those that are not as strong in maybe certain circumstances. I talked about, if we have these freedoms in Christ, if we have these liberties, and a lot of people say that, we got to be careful how we flaunt it. We live in the age of Facebook, and we'll just throw something out on Facebook, and you know what? We got to ask ourselves, is that a stumbling block to my brother? I don't care how much freedom you have in Christ. Is this representing Christ as a whole? And that's what the Scripture's telling us. Chapter 15, he identifies himself, we then who are strong. And then I want verses 1 and 2, man, look, it's a huge pill to swallow if you think everything that you do is done the right way. Are you one of those people? I've heard it. Hey, there's a right, there's the wrong way, and then there's whoever's way. I won't say whoever told me that. But I'm serious. Are we one of those people that think that everything we do is the right way? If we are, then these couple verses right here is going to be tough, all right? It's going to be tough on us. But I want us to see that, especially if you identify yourself with the strong. We're going to see, hey, I'm that strong person. I'm that strong. We'll see about that in just a minute. You know what he's saying to the strong? Get it together, man. If you're strong, get it together. Because I want you to see first that bear their weaknesses. So we see this idea of these ideas of how Christ bear things. Bear their weaknesses, and that word "all" is the past tense of the word "owe." This is what we owe others. We owe an obligation. Why do we owe? Because of what the price has been paid for us. And we'll see that in just a little bit. So we owe others in the body of Christ. How difficult would that be for the Roman church? Listen, it was Jews and Gentiles that had been slammed together in this great thing that was called the church. And yet they came from just totally different backgrounds, didn't they? And yet God puts them together and he says, be unified. He says, bear one another's burdens. And so we owe. And listen, how difficult is that as a church today? In the modern church, it's still difficult, isn't it? And he says, what ought we to do? Bear the weaknesses of the weak. Bear that. That's why I have that picture that and Sandy does such a great job on the PowerPoints and that. That guy carrying that rock up the hill. Sometimes, does life not seem like that to you? Sometimes it feels like, man, you've got this heavy burden that you just can't bear on your own. Guess what? You don't have to. That's why we have this thing that's called the church, the body, that we can bear each other. You know what we're worried to death to say? I have this burden because we want our persona and how we're perceived by others. We don't want to look like we're under that tremendous weight, do we? We want to look like we've got it all together. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? We don't want to say, I'm struggling, brother. Help me or sister. And that's the church. And so that word, I want you to understand something first, that strength comes with obligation. If you're strong, if you're that strong he's talking about, it comes with obligation. We don't dominate over people. That's what the survival of the fittest, that's Darwinism, right? You dominate if you're the strong. No, that's not what he's talking about here. It comes with obligation. It says don't please yourself, but please others, that we'll see in just a minute. And he uses that word bear. And the Greek word there, it means to carry or to support. Bear. So carry that weakness of your brother. Carry it with you. Help your sister when they're struggling with things. We're supposed to carry it. Support it. Come alongside. We're to compensate for another person's weakness. That's what the body of Christ looks like. It's helping each other on this journey that we call life. That can be difficult a lot of times, can it? But I don't know about you, but it seems to help me when I look around and I see my church family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know that I'm not alone. And I know that I have a group of people that I, even in my struggles, that I can come and somebody will pray for me and somebody will carry and somebody will lift up my burden for me. Listen, that is priceless. That is priceless. You say, well, I don't really know if I have that. Then be that. Be that. Help somebody. Carry that load. Support each other. And then we get to the second one, which is don't please yourself. And this is key. This is the key to it, right? Don't please yourself. This doesn't mean that the strong never please themselves or never do anything they want to do. It's dealing with the issues of another brother, okay? It's talking about that. And if you discern that it's for their spiritual good, then what do? You do it. Or you abstain from it. He said, bear that burden for them. And he said, not just being a nice guy or trying to be a man pleaser. We don't have no problem being man pleasers or woman pleasers, right? We know how to do that. In fact, we're worried to death that somebody will think something about us that we'd already said. But how about a God pleaser? How about a God pleaser? Is God pleased with us? He says, listen, it's don't please yourself. It's not about us. It's not about you. Now, I know that the world tells you, America tells you, it's all about you, right? Take care of yourself, or you take care of number one because nobody else will. We buy into that, don't we? God's Word said it's not about pleasing ourselves, but about pleasing others. And listen, he sums it up in two. In verse 2 where he says, let each of us please his neighbor for his own good, leading to edification. Instead of causing somebody to stumble or to tearing them down or damaging, you know what we do? We build them up. Why? Why would we do such a thing? I'm glad you asked. Look at verses 3 and 4. Because Christ did it. He didn't please himself. And he uses that example. Our ultimate example is Christ. He didn't please himself. And we can all say amen. We understand that today. He came not to serve or be served, but to serve, give his life a what? Ransom for many. Paul uses Christ as that example. And you know what? He talks about, think about Christ in heaven and knowing what we talked about that last 24 hours. And yet, when it came time to go, I will go. And who did he go for? You and me. Fallen mankind, sinful mankind. That's what he came for. He stepped out of heaven. I'm going to tell you, that's self-sacrifice at its greatest, is it not? And we all sit here forgiving those that know Jesus Christ because he was willing to come. Paul said, hey, he said, I will go. But he came to please the Father and save mankind from their sin. But he finishes that verse 3 by quoting Psalm 69, where he says, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He lived a life of reproach. Oh, does that ever bother you, thinking about Christ and what he did in our Savior? That he lived this life of reproach. That he, you know what he did? He sacrificed, he emptied himself of his divine rights. In fact, Paul says in Philippians 2, he says, let this mindset be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And what he said, that he came as a servant, did, made himself of no reputation, came in the form of a man. Humbled himself even to what? The point of death. Even the death of the cross. He said, let this mind be in you is also in Christ Jesus. He said, wherefore God hath what? Highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. The reason we're sitting here, because of that name. Because of Christ. And he says, let Christ be our example. And when we think about ourselves, let it bounce and say, wait a minute, Christ, this is not representing him. Our ultimate example. Let this mind be in you. Verse 4 says, and don't miss that word in verse 4, which is talking about for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Listen, comfort. Why? He talks about God being comfort. He talks about His Word being comfort. We can find comfort and rest to our weary souls and the difficulties that we have and the struggles that we have through God's Word. He's the God of comfort. This can only mean that it's God Himself who encourages us through the living voice of Scripture. For God continues to speak through what He has spoken. These are the Word of God. Find comfort in that. God spoke it. Hey, one of these days, and you heard me say this, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's going to be with us in heaven forever and ever and ever. Then I believe I'd be learning from it right now, wouldn't you? Come on. We need to be learning from it now. Why? It can bring us comfort. I told somebody this week, a friend, sometimes my feelings will betray me. I don't always feel like a Christian. Maybe even sometimes you've got to the point where you question your salvation. Am I saved or not? I don't feel saved. It's not based on your feelings, which is fickle. It's based on the promises of God. And what you do is you do an assessment of your life and see if it's lining up with this or not. If it's not lining up, you better do some more checking. But if it is, you know what? It has nothing to do with my feelings. It has everything to do with the promises of God. That's what he's talking about, those words of comfort that give us hope. Hope what? Beyond this life. Hope that when we bury our loved ones, that we realize those that are in Christ, that we'll all be together one day when there won't be death and sickness and all the things that go along with this fallen world. Because I want you to see there's a purpose and a reason that he does this. Lastly, in verses 5 and 6, united in worship. And look what he says in 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul's prayer for unity. He's finishing up this little section here, and he said, he's talking about seeing, you know, we're not going to see everything eye to eye. If we're depending on that, we're in trouble. Can anybody say amen? We're not going to see everything eye to eye. We're just not. Why? That's just who we are. But listen, in Christ, he's saying, don't focus on what you don't agree on. Focus on what you do. And what's that? Jesus Christ, man. Him crucified. Him, the Son of God, that walked this earth for a reason and a purpose to save fallen mankind. And that in his blood, anybody can be forgiven this morning. Anybody, doesn't matter what you've done. In Jesus' name, you can be forgiven. If you accept his payment for your sin on the cross. Because you know what? He died and was buried the third day. He rose. Woo! somebody say amen, please. Because that's the hope, and this thing's driving me crazy again. That's the hope. I'm getting too wound up. My earpiece lets me know I'll calm down. You know what it's saying? Focus on Christ. We reorient. Does your life ever get out of whack a little bit? All the time, man. We get our focus off of things. We go through junk, garbage. Satan trips us up, comes in the back door, reminds us of what we've done, keeps us beat up. You know what? That needle, just like magnetic north, it reorients back to Christ. Back to Christ. Reorient our lives. And listen, when we do that, then here we do. We stand united in Christ. Regardless of what we face, what we go through in life, what's happened in our past, what's going to happen in our future? Man, we reorient back to Christ again. And you know what we do when we do that? We don't nitpick. Nitpick, is that a word? It's a Greek word, nitpick. Right now. Listen, we have the same mind for what? The sake of unity. We're not nitpicking over every little thing. Does anybody have trouble with that? Nitpicking? Oh, what about this? What about that? But what about Christ? What about Jesus? What would Jesus do? That old bracelet. Maybe we need to put the break the bracelets back out again and remind us. What would Jesus do? And so we don't nitpick. Let's go on. Verse 6. That you may with one, I like this, one mind and one mouth glorify God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the ultimate aim of unity is, Paul's saying here? It's worship. Worship. One accord, one voice. What are we doing? We're glorifying God through Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Worship without unity is hollow and it's meaningless. We come here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights to do one thing, worship. Be unified together. Worship the one true God through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. In that unity, we worship Him and we make much of Him with our mouths and we glorify Him through preaching and through the singing, through the offering, everything that goes on. We worship Him. Paul said that's what it's about. You know what? Listen, when we agree about Jesus, or the more that we agree about Jesus, the more we're going to agree with each other. Hello? The more we agree about Jesus, the more we're going to agree about each other. It's unity that He brings together. No, Jesus didn't please Himself, but the second principle here is in verses 7 through 13. Jesus accepted others. Listen to what the Word of God says. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles, and sing of to your name. And again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus accepted others. Paul gives them this ultimate challenge in verse 7. Accept others as Christ did. Not just put up with. Accept. I want you to understand this, though. The tolerance crowd will say accept whatever lifestyle, accept whatever goes against the Word of God. That is not what it's saying. It's talking about believers in Christ that have been and confessed and repented from those kind of sins. All right? Now, we accept and we pull all people in. But here's the only way we accept them is when they come to know. Listen, we accept them and we preach the gospel. But when they come to know Jesus Christ, then we bear their burdens. The whole world says, we just accept and love anything that's coming down the pipe. Can anybody see that today? We do love them. In Jesus' name, and we pray for their repentance and that they turn to the Word of God. And then we work together. Does that mean, hey, everything's hunky-dory and fixed? No. It means that, hey, we've got to bring unity in Christ and continue in that unity. And I love how he slips. He slips from the weak and the strong. You notice that the Gentile and Jew in these verses. Remember the Roman church. He's getting back to the problem there. Can you imagine, and we've already talked about that, the Roman church full of these law-abiding, look, Israelites, and then a bunch of heathens like us, pigging Gentiles, and he throws us all together. Look, says, let's do church. You remember, can you realize how difficult that would be in that? And so he makes that transfer over from weak and strong into the Jew and Gentile situation. And I love what he does. You know what he does? He quotes Scripture. He quotes Scripture. He brings out the Word. And you know, he's saying that, accept both Jew and Gentile. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And then he bases his challenge on four Old Testament quotes of the Scripture. One of them, listen, here's what they do. One is from the prophets, or one is from the law, one is from the prophets, two are from the writings, which are the three divisions of the Old Testament. All four are about quotations that refers to Gentiles and the worship of God. You know what he's saying? You Jewish guys, listen, you're struggling, you Israelites. But it was God's plan. Oh, look, this is your word. This is the Old Testament. This is the law. This is the prophets. This is the writing. You know what? God had a plan. Who was it? Save a bunch of Gentiles like us today. Thank God. Praise God. Jew and Gentile alike. He raised them up. Thus showing that the Messiah would be both the root of Jesse and the hope of all nations. Do you believe he's the hope of all nations today? Do you believe he's the fix to the world and its problems today? Then take his gospel out wherever you go and share it. If that's the case, and we believe that, then share the good news of Christ. Christ is our example. Let us accept others as Christ accepted us. With all my sins, all my messed upness, all my redneckness. Is that a word? I made it up today. All my past. He accepted me. Listen, oh my goodness, I could tell you stories without Christ. I ain't going to brag on the devil. What I did and things I did. And yet he accepted me into his family when I turned to him in repentance and asked him to forgive me. You know what he did? You know what he said? Forgiven. Oh my goodness. And he's saying accept. So how dare me to point fingers at somebody that don't match up or don't exactly look like me? This gets rid of all racism, by the way. Any color, any socioeconomic hang-ups that we have. He gets rid of all that. Why? Christ accepted all. He calls us, listen, he calls us to what he did for us. Accept each other as he accepted us. He accepted me, and so we accept each other. Incredible acceptance was exemplified through Christ our Savior. I'm so glad. I want you to understand something this morning. If we're not careful, and Hollywood does this a lot, if we're not careful, it just becomes a fairy tale character. You say, what are you talking about? Well, he just becomes another great man, Gandhi or whatever you want to put in there. That's what Jesus was, historic Jesus. He wasn't God. This is not a fairy tale. This is not an Aesop's fable. This is the Word of God. And he's saying, be accepting, be unified in me. Make a difference in the world while we're here in Christ's name and for his glory. He was the Son of God. He is our example. He actually lived. And Paul, I love this, he finishes this with a beautiful benediction. Look what he says. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He expresses his prayer wish that what? The God of hope may cause them to overflow with hope. You see that word? Hope. Do you have hope this morning? Without Christ, what hope is there? If you don't know Jesus Christ, then where are you putting your hopes in? This world? In your 401k? In your career? There is no hope outside of Christ. And he says, this God of hope, bring you hope. Hope is what? It's always a look for the future. Scriptures bring us hope. All men will one day be in harmony, be in unity, worshiping in unity. With, I love this, joy and peace forevermore. Kind of takes you back to 4:17 when he says, kingdom of God's not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then he's saying here, hey, at the end, that this joy and peace may abound. We'll be worshiping him forever and ever one day in a place called heaven. Do you have that hope this morning? way we'll ever have unity is to build on that foundation. In Christ, we can overcome those things, those nitpicky things, those non-essentials, those things that really don't matter. Why? So that the world may know that you have sent me. Does the world know, your world know, that Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory? Does it see you as, wait a minute, they're walking by the beat of a different drum than I am? How does your world see you? Applications and we'll be done. Number one, do you bear others' burdens? Are you known as a burden bearer coming alongside? Say, hey, brother, hey, sister, let me carry that weight with you. I pray with you. You don't go out and say, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, we need to pray about them. All it is a gossip train. We'll use anything. But really bearing, doing life, coming along beside of them, a burden bearer. Number two, is unity your focus for the sake of true worship? In other words, you're willing to lay aside anything that bothers you or nitpicks. Why? That God can be glorified through you. And number three, how accepting of others are you? People got to look like you, act like you, like the same things as you. How accepting are you? Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and play, please. Not going to tarry long, but I'm going to give you opportunity. If you don't know Christ this morning, I promise you then, through the Holy Spirit, He reveals that to you. If you know, if you said to yourself, you know, do I really know Jesus? Don't leave here making that question. That's gambling with eternity. Accept Christ as your Savior. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, you know what? I've messed up. I'm receiving you as my Savior. What about, do you know, you realize, you know what? I do a lot more gossiping than I do praying. People just get on my nerves. You're one of those people. You might have been one of those people who used to love. I'm a people person, but I've seen them. I just hate humanity anymore. I work in this market or this certain way, and I've just got to where I just can't stand to be around people. That's not a Jesus follower, okay? You got to look at people through the eyes of Christ. What has God said to you this morning? Are you a burden bearer? Do you come alongside? Whatever the Lord says. We're going to shut our eyes before the Lord right now. Close your eyes. What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you? You need to come forward. You know Christ is your Savior. You need to come forward and say, you know what? I just need to confess before the Lord. I do a lot more gossiping than I do praying. I'm just bitter on life. What is it the Lord said to you? I'll give you just a minute to respond. You can ask the Lord in your heart right there where you're standing. You can say, Lord Jesus, I want to ask you. I'm repenting from my sin today. I'm receiving you as my personal Savior. You don't have to walk an aisle to do that. But I'm going to promise you this, and you hear me say this. You will let somebody know. Somebody will know if you receive Christ as your Savior. What is He saying to you? Just a couple more minutes and that'll be it. Do business before God. Finish off singing this chorus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Get this picture, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. Will be. Amen. I've got a couple right here that's wanting to join this church. Boy, it's a long time coming right here, ain't it? This is Kay and Art, because we have the dual membership that we voted in, a couple weeks ago. Art, you've been trying to get her doing for a while, haven't you, buddy? A long time. But they want to come and join our church in our new dual membership. What is the pleasure of the church? There you go. There you see. Praise the Lord.
And we were accepting of each other.
Yes.
The scripture couldn't have been more clear today in verse 5.
Amen.
We want to unite together and be accepted in this church.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Good job. Good job. What do you want to say, honey? I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here. You go back and we'll greet you. Go on back and we'll come out and everybody. Give everybody. Y'all can give Art and Kay a right hand of fellowship. We'll give them just a minute to get back. Lee finishes in prayer, if you would, please.